Genesis chapter 2.
All right, appreciate your help there. This is lesson number 7, the 7th week. We've been studying 7 foundations for healthy living. It's what we've been looking at. And so to begin with tonight, we're going to go back to the garden, go back to Genesis chapter number 2. And that's where we began this series. We began looking in the Garden of Eden, and we found there are 7 foundations for healthy living that we find in the Bible, from the Bible. And I'm just going to quickly list them again tonight. And we said, first of all, pure air. We need air. That's obvious. Water. Good food. We talked about all these things. We talked about diets in the Bible, what the Bible says. Last week we looked at the subject of sunshine and vitamin D and how that affects our body and how God created us and just a unique, amazing way that our body uses the environment around us for our health. And number 5 is exercise, number 6 is rest, and number 7 is faith. And so that's what we're looking at when we're talking about the 7 foundations for healthy living. And tonight we're going to look at exercise. And we find this in Genesis chapter 2, verse number 15. And the Bible says over there, "And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it." And the word "dress" there, it means, if you look that word up in a concordance, it literally means to work. God put Adam in the Garden of Eden to work. That's what that means. Or gave him a work to do, to dress it and to keep it. That word "keep" means to guard it. And that was in a perfect environment. Now, I know in cartoon land, you might think that in the Garden of Eden there wasn't anything to do, and that when you die, you become an angel and float on a cloud for all of eternity. But now that is fictional. That is not what the Bible says. That's what Hollywood says. In the Garden of Eden, God gave Adam and Eve something to do. They had a work to do. And you know, even in eternity, we're going to have a work to do. In the millennial reign, there's going to be work to do. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that we have something to do that can be pleasing unto the Lord. But in a perfect environment, they had a work to do. They had a work to do that was so vigorous that God knew that they would need a day of rest. And so in Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, we find over there the Sabbath day. God instituted the Sabbath day, and before we started studying this, I had never noticed that the Lord did that in a perfect environment. It wasn't because of sin that man needed a day of rest. God gave a day of rest before sin ever entered into the world. Why would you need a day of rest? Because you're going to work 6 days and rest one day. So that's interesting to me that in a perfect environment, God instituted a day of rest, the Sabbath day. And Genesis chapter 2, verse 3, "And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made." And so then the Lord made the Sabbath day, the day of rest. And so we find that in relation to work. And second of all, it was work that produced sweat. Look at Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 19. Now this, of course, is after sin comes into the world. And the whole nature of the world changed. And I think the part of the curse that we would emphasize here in Genesis chapter number 3 when God was talking to Adam is that the work which he already had to do after sin has entered into the world, it's going to become a whole lot more aggravating. I believe in the Garden of Eden that Adam's work was enjoyable. It might have been hard work, work that made him sweat and could be classified as even, to keep it and to dress it and all of those things. But after the fall, the work that we have to do becomes a whole lot more aggravating. And we see this, Genesis chapter 3, verse 17. Let's start reading there. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. And I cannot read that or think about that, that I don't think about what my grandpa Greer used to say. And we used to go and cut thistles and briars on the hill, and we find sometimes pictures of that hill behind where I live now. And the whole thing, all up and down and really everywhere, was like that. People kept their land manicured. They kept the briars off of it, the rose briars and the thistles and the mullein and the weeds and all those things. That didn't just, postcard picture setting just didn't happen by itself. Somebody got out there and cut the thorns and the thistles and kept the land cleared off. And my Uncle Stanley, and some of you may remember him, my grandpa said they'd be out cutting briars and thistles and things, and he would always say, this is Adam's fault. This is Adam's fault that we have to get out here and do this. Where'd that come from? Right here in this verse. Where'd that come from that we have to get out and cut thistles and thorns and things? Well, that was the result of the curse. And God said, in sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat of the herb of the field. And then verse 19, what we're talking about, sweating. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. And so this work that Adam had to do before and after the fall of man, it was work that produced sweat. They sweated when they worked. And I want to say this also tonight. If you think about it, for the first 6,000 years of history, the first 6,000 years of mankind upon the earth, work basically didn't change very much. What I mean by that, if Adam had to work and sweat, our grandparents had to. It just didn't change very much for thousands and thousands of years. The basic labor, the drive to survive that man had to live in, it pretty much stayed the same. Farming pretty much stayed the same for thousands of years. It's just hard work, plowing the ground, tilling the ground, tending the livestock. I know you might say, well, there's a lot of changes, but basically it's still just hard work. For thousands and thousands of years, if you wanted to cook anything, you still had to go out and cut wood and chop wood and cut it up into little pieces. And maybe they cooked on an open fire. Maybe they cooked in a brick oven. Or even in my basement tonight, we've got a wood stove. And I'll tell you, it takes a lot of work to cut up little old pieces to go in that wood stove. They still had to, it's basically cooking by fire, no matter what kind of oven that they had. Washing, the washing of clothes and dealing with animals, and there was always walking and lifting and carrying everywhere you go and everything for 6,000 years. The basic work and the way man got his bread and all these things really didn't change very much. Man still had to go out and sweat in the work that he had. And I think it'd be safe to say that probably, and I'm just going to guess at this, but wouldn't you think that probably 90% of the people in the world had to work and sweat in order to survive? I mean, rich people, poor people, it wouldn't matter. young people, old people. I know some of you, even here tonight, when you were growing up, before you went to school, you had chores you had to do before. You had to go out and work when you got home. You had to come in, and there was things that you had to do. It wasn't your parents being mean to you. This was in order for the family to survive. You had to work. Everybody had to pull their part of the load and be involved. It took so much more just to survive than it does today. People really had to work. I've said this before. Today, if you had a bunch of youngins like people used to have, and you had them out before daybreak or before school, if you had them out in the garden or maybe right after school, and people got, why, the government would be coming to your house and wondering how you's treating them children. You know, we live in a society that almost thinks you shouldn't have to do anything. But for thousands of years, and it didn't matter where you lived in the world, if you lived in China or if you lived in Africa, you still had to work. If you lived in Europe, where Russia is today, if you lived in Australia, it did not matter. Anywhere in the world, you had to work. It didn't matter if you was in the city or the country. People still had to work. And that work involved sweating. But you look and compare the way our parents and grandparents were raised versus how people are raised today. It's a vast difference. Our society has changed so much in the past 50 years. I'm just going to throw that out there. 50, 30 years, somewhere around in there. But once upon a time, work, exertion. Now, we're looking at exercise. But they didn't have gyms and gym memberships in Adam's day, David's day, Moses' day, Paul's day. The way that they got their exercise was by work. So I'm using the word work. But when they worked, they sweated, they exercised. And once upon a time, work was exertion. Sweat was just part of it. It was just a way of life. And I was thinking today, and then I was talking at the supper table with Kim and Abigail and Chloe, and we was all sitting there talking, you know, do you think it would be possible today for somebody to go all week long and never break a sweat doing anything? I think that would be pretty feasible. That somebody, if they wanted to, and maybe there's a lot of people that want to, but really, they could go all week and never break a sweat at nothing. Never have to break a sweat. And they could carry out their normal things that they always do. You could get up. You could go to school, you could, unless you had a gym class or something, you know, you could do all that, come home, do your homework, and never break a sweat doing nothing. Most people in their jobs, not everybody, but a lot of people could go on to their work, go through their work, go shopping, do whatever, come home, have supper, wash clothes, make beds, whatever, and never break into a sweat. Life's a whole lot different now than it was just a few short years ago. And as we think about that, I look at the Word of God. God told Adam, "In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread." That's what God told Adam. God told Adam, he said, "You're going to sweat in order to survive." But we don't have to sweat in order to survive. We can get around that. Our lives are so much easier than it used to be. We could go to the grocery store and load up with a whole week's worth of groceries and come home and put them in the refrigerator and put them in the cabinet and never break a sweat. Isn't that different from what the Lord told Adam? God said, "In the sweat of your face, you're going to eat bread all the days of your life." And so our lives, our society is a whole lot different. Now, we're in America, so we'll just think about America. Maybe in the Philippines, Preacher Jeff is talking about over there, and they didn't have air conditioning and how humid it is, but we're not over there. We're talking about where we are in America and the lives that we live. But if you just look at if we were to take a snapshot of our nation, we're sicker, I believe with all my heart, we're sicker overall than we've ever been before. And all kinds of sicknesses covering the mind, the heart, the body, all kinds of ailments, all kinds of childhood diseases. We're slower than we ever have been before, more obese than we ever have been before. If you go as an American to a foreign country, you'll be amazed how many people are not obese. People who come to America from other countries, that's the first thing they notice is how big we are. How big we are. When we lived in England, we noticed that. Most people walked everywhere they went in town where we lived, everybody. They didn't go to Walmart and get 2 weeks' worth of groceries. They walked down to the market. They walked down to the store on the side of the, and they got their bread. And a whole lot more people walked. And we even had people over there talk about how different it is in America. Well, that was 20, 25 years ago, something like that. But we're less active than our parents were or our grandparents were. I found an article last fall. It was November of 2013. The American Heart Association came out with they've been doing research on children from 1964 to the year 2010, I think it was. And in that research, they had analyzed children from all over the world, millions of children from all over the world. And that study showed that young people today are 15% less fit than their parents were 30 years ago. And since 1975, it's went down steadily, steadily. How come? How come children are less fit than their parents were? Well, they're doing less. And I'm not throwing off on our young people by any means, but this is just the way our society is. I'm not going to read all that, but one statement said this out of that article. It said, we are currently facing the most sedentary generation of children in our history. Sedentary means just sitting around. Just sitting around. When we were little, Mama kicked us out of the house. And we'd stay outside in the summertime, sometimes all day long. Roam all over the mountains, run all over. And just was outside. But now, young people can stay inside and watch TV, computers, video games, all kinds of things like this. And our society as a whole allows that. But God did not create us to be sedentary, to sit around. God created us to be active. God made us that way, to be active and to sweat and to work and to exert ourselves. We've all heard the phrase, hard work won't kill you. You ever heard that? Sitting around will. I've not heard that, but I'm saying that. Hard work never killed anybody, but sitting around hurts a lot of people. Being sedentary in our lifestyles, and that goes for young and old alike. Exercise in the Bible. Look in 1 Timothy chapter 4. We're going to read over there. We know God gave Adam a job to do. He gave him work to do. And he was to make his living, we might say, by the sweat of his brow. Exercise, believe it or not, is mentioned in the Bible. It's mentioned 11 times in the Bible. And 10 times has to do with non-physical exercise. Not exercise like we think about exercise, but 10 times in the Bible you'll find something like this. I'm just going to give a couple of examples. Jeremiah 9:24. I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness. That's not a physical exercise. That's a exercise of emotion or will. That's how that word exercise is used. Or Matthew 10:25, the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them. That's not exercise like we think of the word exercise. And 10 times it's non-physical exercise that we find in the Bible. But the most well-known use of the word exercise in the Bible, I mean, this is sort of like judge not that you be not judged. About everybody knows this verse, because if you, myself as a preacher, if you mention exercise to somebody, they'll tell me a lot of times, I've heard this, well, preacher, don't you know the Bible says bodily exercise profiteth little. Yes, I know that's in the Bible. That's the only place in the Bible that bodily exercise is mentioned, is in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 8. Only place in the Bible bodily exercise, like we would think of exercise, is mentioned. It's in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 8. Now, it's good to read things in their proper context. And Paul is here making a comparison. He's talking to Timothy about a life of godliness and how he should live his life. And in verse 7, he says, but refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. That's a spiritual exercise. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. Godly exercise has profit here in this life and in the life to come. Bodily exercise, it doesn't say is of no profit, but it says profiteth little. It will only benefit you here. It'll not benefit you there. Unless it helps you stay healthy longer so you can live your life to the fullest for the honor and the glory of God. In that respect, bodily exercise profits little. And so there's no profit, but it profiteth little, is what the Bible says. And a few weeks ago, I talked about Jonathan Edwards and the great preacher God used during the Great Awakening, and how he exercised, and he watched his health, and he watched what he ate and how it affected him. He even wrote it down. And how he chopped wood and he went out riding to get fresh air and to get some exercise. But in the books that I've read about him, and especially our textbook for school this year, it talks about all those things that he did physically. And then after that it says, but more than anything, he walked with God. Walking with God has good benefits to it. More so than just exercise, physical exercise. There's the exercising ourselves unto godliness. So we definitely, and we're going to get to that when we talk about faith. But that's what Paul is talking about to Timothy here when it talks about bodily exercise profiteth little. But it does not say there's no profit, but that it profiteth little. Now, exercise, if you look it up in the dictionary, the word exercise in the dictionary means this: in a general sense, any kind of work, labor, or exertion of body. That's what exercise is. So you go out and you work hard, well, you're going to get some exercise. Or if you exercise, say go to a gym or go on a walk or whatever a person might do for exercise, then you're going to exert yourself. God made us to exert ourselves and to sweat and to be active versus to be inactive. And another definition that Webster's Dictionary gave for exercise was this: exertion of the body as conducive to health, action, motion by labor, walking, riding, or other exertion. So when we're talking about what's good for us according to the Bible, hard work, work hard enough to sweat. We know a lot, you know, you can work today and never sweat. So you got to make a distinction there. Work hard enough to sweat, to exert oneself. Or labor, exertion of body, any kind. I found this in Webster's dictionary, and he puts under his definition, sometimes he'll have a Bible verse, sometimes he'll have a line of poetry, or maybe just a saying that was common at the time, and he has a saying underneath exercise. And the saying is this: the wise for cure on exercise depend. I thought that was interesting. The wise, now this is early 1800s, a saying to demonstrate what the word exercise means. The wise for cure on exercise depend. So what's he saying? The wise for cure. Daddy's wearing Abigail's scarf and it's about to make me laugh. I think Chloe put it on him, so that just looked funny to me from up here. Now Chloe's embarrassed back there. That just struck me funny. You ought to see the things I see goes on during the service. I'm sorry. Oh. The wise for cure on exercise depend. If there was such a thing as a miracle drug, exercise would be it. If there was such a thing as a miracle drug, exercise would be it. And this is not something that our modern day has just discovered. Oh, exercise is good for you. Wise people have known that for hundreds and hundreds of years. The wise for cure on exercise depend. If there was such a thing as a fountain of youth, exercise would be it. Say, well, I'd sure like to learn how to turn back the hands of time a little bit in my body. Well, if it's possible, it's not through taking a pill. That always amazes me. These advertisements that you can lose weight and develop, you know, they've always got a picture of a muscle man or a model of some kind, and you take a little pill and you lose all the weight you want to and you look like the people in that picture. No, you won't. You want to look like that, you're going to have to exercise. I guarantee you they exercise. But you know, you see that kind of advertisement all around. You're going to have to exercise or work hard or exert yourself in some way. Exercise is something. Nobody goes to the doctor with an illness and he says, now whatever you do, don't exercise. Unless you've torn a ligament in your knee or you're on the verge of having a heart attack or you've got the walking pneumonia or something. Now that'll put you out of commission for a while. But ailments, sicknesses, the great majority of them are benefited by exercise. In fact, you go to the doctor and that's something he'll prescribe. You need to exercise. You need to exercise. That's very common for a whole lot of different diabetes, and I could go down the list, heart disease, high blood pressure, arthritis, cancer. I've seen several articles lately along these lines. This one was from January this year. Cancer patients who exercise could have cut in half their risk of death. And it talked about how important it was for people that had cancer to exercise. And went into great depth, and I'm not going to get into all the reasons why, but they're saying, you know, if you have cancer, one of the best things you can do is exercise. Work hard. I found another one about a young man. His name's David Miller. He was using exercise to fight Crohn's disease. And how it was helping him with Crohn's disease. And he said in that article, he said, I could stay at home in the bed and be drugged up to my eyeballs, but I wouldn't be fit for anything. So he was exercising and talked about how it actually helped him. And I found another article about a man who had multiple sclerosis, MS, and how the exercise was helping him. And he was actually doing that instead of taking drugs. And the nursing homes and hospitals are full of, or maybe not full of, but they always have a section dedicated to rehabilitation. It's amazing that no matter how old you are, doesn't matter. And people break bones and things, and they'll go over there and they'll send them to rehab. No matter how old you are, you can gain or regain muscle strength. As long as you live. You think about that. You can gain muscle strength. And that's very important to our overall health, is just strength. And if you notice that in the Bible, just when you're reading the Bible, notice how many times David, for example, used strength. Strength is important. Where does it come from? Muscles. So you have rehabilitation, and you have all across, you have athletes, you have young people, you have middle-aged people, you have people with disabilities and diseases and debilitating diseases, and all across the board, exercise helps them, exertion. And so we have many, many examples we could talk about tonight, how important that is. I'm going to give a biblical, here's why I think, one reason from the Bible why exercise is so important to our overall health. Leviticus 17 and 11 says this, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. The life, now, how inspired do you think the Word of God is? I think it is so inspired that could be a key to good health. It is a key to good health. For the life of the flesh is in the blood. Doctors didn't discover that. God told us that. The life of the flesh is in the blood. And here's what exercise or hard work or exertion does. This is just real simple thinking tonight. Just using our common sense that God gave us. What exercise does, it moves life through your body. When we exert ourselves, when we exercise or we work hard, it literally moves life through our body. It moves blood and oxygen through our body, which the Bible says the life of the flesh is in the blood. The blood has to move through the body, and when we exercise or exert ourselves, it causes a lot of things to happen in our body that is good for us. It causes our heart rate to go up. That's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. It causes our breathing to get deeper. I've read a lot of things that said just when you're sitting, that's really not giving you enough oxygen just by sitting. You sit around and you get sleepy. You get up, move around, exert yourself, and it wakes you up. What's that do? It gets more oxygen in your body, in your brain. It moves your blood around. It flushes your system out. I really believe with all my heart, a lot of our cancer problems is from being sedentary or sitting, and we're not moving stuff through the interior of our body like we ought to. And cancers, they gather in one place, they grow, tumors, they get in our lymph nodes. A lot of times cancer gets there. Exercise oxygenates, that's a hard word to say, but our body, it improves our circulation. It gets our lymph node system to working effectively. Your lymph node system doesn't have a pump like your heart. And so as your blood begins to flow and circulate and oxygen, it gets toxins out of your body. Sweat gets poison out of your body. It's good for you. It's good for you. It builds your muscles. It gives you strength. It reduces stress in your life. A lot of people, you go out and you do something. Just makes you feel better. I love in the summertime, I love to go out and work in the garden. That's stress reduction to me. It really is. It reduces stress. On and on we could go. So whatever it is you call it, whether you work or exercise, exertion, we need that in our bodies. Now, I went to the doctor. It's been a year and a half or a little more ago now. And he asked me, he said, "Do you exercise?" And I said, "Well," I said, "yeah." I said, I wasn't going to say no, but I thought, you know, do I exercise? Yeah, I exercise. I said, I work in the garden and I work outside and mow the yard and cut wood and stuff like that. And as soon as I said that, I could tell that he heard that all the time. And so he began to lecture me about how that unless you got your, he gave me all this information, unless you get your heart rate up for, I think it's 20 minutes, three times a week. He said, "You've really not exercised. You've not done yourself any good. You're not gaining anything." And I got to thinking about it. Now, my mowing the yard, you know, I'm really exercising when I sit on my Honda and I drive around the yard. And I'm not working like Grandpa worked, I'll promise you that. And cutting wood, well, that's hard work. How much do you really do that throughout the year? Not a lot. Not a lot to really count for exercise. So he lectured me about what was really considered exercise versus what's not. But exercise is good for you. Work is good for us. I believe this with all my heart. Inactivity invites disease. We're an inactive society. Go over at Walmart and just watch people going in and out. Are they fit? A lot of people are way out of shape. Way out of shape. It invites disease into our lives. And as we are inactive, what happens is our bodies wither away upon our bones. We lose muscle mass. You have to have that to be to have health. It's called atrophy. It's where we get weaker instead of stronger. And really, you can even not look out of shape, but be out of shape just because you're losing muscle mass. You're losing the ability to break a sweat. And that happens with all of us the older we get. But I think a lot of times, instead of doing anything about it, we just, and I've been here already, hurt all the time, don't have the energy to do what you'd like to do, and say, "Well, I'm just getting older," and I'm not saying everybody ought to go out and join a gym or anything like that, but you need to get some exercise. And if you don't, your health's going to suffer because of it. We all need to exert ourselves and to break a sweat from time to time. And I'll give just a little personal testimony example, just 2 minutes, and I'll be done. But last summer, and I've wanted to do something for several years. Well, when I stopped working outside job, my work, I did do a whole lot more setting now than I ever have before. And boy, it didn't take long. I began to feel the effects of that. And I'm a full-time pastor. I love that. I enjoy that. I like it. Kim said today something about cleaning house. She said, "All I do is clean house." I said, "All I do is study." I said, "But I like it." Well, she didn't say she liked cleaning house, but I said, "I'm glad I have the opportunity to do that. A lot of pastors don't. But sitting around, it wears on you. It'll hurt your back. It'll hurt your eyes. And on and on and on I could go." So last summer, I thought I was falling apart physically. My hands got to hurt me so bad, I thought for sure I was having arthritis onset. And I'd be shaking hands at the back of the church, and somebody would shake my hand just and catch it just right, and I about buckled a few times. And I tried not to let on, but I told Kim, I said, my hands are killing me. So my shaking mashed the joints of my knuckles together, and I just really hurt. I'd never had that before. A few other things. And so I decided about the end of July, I said, I've got to do something. So I started exercising on a regular basis. And it wasn't long I began to notice, I mean, being consistent with it, my hands stopped hurting. And I know it was from the exercise. Because arthritis, there's a whole lot of symptoms. See, what we do is we get older, our muscles break down, we get weaker and weaker, and all these debilitating things set in. If we can sort of keep up with ourselves, we're really benefited because of it. My knee was popping every time I bent down. I bent down, I could hardly get back up. My knees stopped popping. Thank the Lord. I went on the hill the other day, walked up, walked back down, and usually walking down killed my knees. And I walked up the other day and come back down. My knees wasn't bothering me. It's because I'd started exercising. Just taking care of myself a little bit. It'll benefit you. And so that's bodily exercise. That's the fifth thing. Now, we're going to get into rest. And we're going to get into faith and we'll be done. All these things are important. All of them contribute together. You say, why would we study something like this? And I'm done. That we might live our lives for the honor and glory of God. And that He might be able to use us and we could do something for Him. And feel like doing something for Him. Now, that's a blessing to do something for the Lord. But to feel like doing it, now that's really a blessing. And I feel good. So it's important. All right, I appreciate your good attention.